And from the KTOO newsroom, I'm Anna Canny. Federal officials are looking into the deaths of 9 orcas that were hauled up by groundfish trawlers in the Bering Sea and Aleutian Island fisheries this year. As KUCB's Hope McKenney reports, conservation groups say more needs to be done to prevent such deaths.
According to NOAA Fisheries, a 10th whale was released alive. But the 9 other orcas incidentally caught in trawl nets this year weren't so lucky.
NOAA Fisheries is analyzing collected data to determine the cause of injury or death and determine which stock these whales belong to through a review of genetic information that was collected.
That's Julie Fair, public affairs officer with the federal agency's Alaska office, reading from a statement published late last week. She declined to be interviewed except to read the statement out loud. Killer whales are protected under the Marine Mammal Protection Act. It requires boat owners or operators to report the deaths and injuries of the mammals during commercial fishing and survey operations. Fair says NOAA Fisheries monitors bycatch of protected species to determine whether the animals were dead before being caught or were killed or seriously injured by commercial gear. The vessels involved in these incidents weren't named, but Fair says the boats involved were all required to carry 2 federal observers on board. An interview request to the Groundfish Forum, the association that represents Bering Sea trawlers, was not returned. This isn't the first time killer whales have been caught in trawl gear off Alaska, but the numbers seem high this year, according to Sherry Tarantino, head of the advocacy group Orca Conservancy in Washington State.
9-10 killer whales is too many. You know, and if this is just this year, you know, something needs to be done in the future to mitigate these atrocities.
Biologists estimate there are about 450 orcas in the Bering Sea. Tarantino says it's important to protect the species for future generations.
We're not saying stop trawling, even though I think trawling is unbelievably devastating to the ocean animals and the beings that live there. But if we continue taking this bycatch is just insane. I mean, it's destroying our future, in my opinion. You know, if the ocean goes, we go.
Biologist Deborah Giles is the science and research director for a nonprofit called Wild Orca. They do conservation research on a highly endangered population of killer whales that roam from California to Southeast Alaska. She says she wasn't surprised when she heard about the 9 orca deaths.
I was glad that they were finally recognizing it publicly. Of course, my cynical brain wonders how often this is happening when it was not reported or at least not released publicly. And I'm very glad that this is going to be investigated.
Giles says the industry needs to figure out a safe way to keep animals from interacting with fishing vessels and reduce bycatch of non-targeted species.
We'd ask NOAA to come up with some new protocols for ensuring that this doesn't happen again in the future. NOAA is responsible for marine mammals like killer whales, and they're also responsible for making sure that the fisheries are not jeopardizing non-targeted species. And bycatch is something that, especially in the trawl industry, trawling, bycatch is massive, and it's unsustainable. Initially, what we need to know is, what are they doing about this? What steps are going to be taken to minimize this?
NOAA says they're working quickly to evaluate these incidents and will share findings as soon as possible. Reporting for KUCB, I'm Hope McKenney.
The collapse of King and Chum salmon runs on the Yukon River has been devastating for communities who depend on them. The cause is still a puzzle, but scientists say climate change is playing a big role. Alaska Public Media's Kavitha George has been exploring the Yukon salmon collapse. Today, she digs into what we know.
When it comes to what's causing the Yukon salmon collapse, scientists know one thing for sure. It's not just one culprit. J.D. Ferguson is a fish pathologist with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. He says researchers have identified a bunch of threats facing Yukon King and Chum salmon.
So it's really hard and probably unrealistic to just like point your finger at one thing and say, that's what's doing it.
Those threats pop up at every stage of the salmon life cycle. When salmon hatch in freshwater streams, as they swim down the Yukon to the ocean where they spend most of their lives, and on their arduous journey back upriver to spawn and die. Scientists think many of these threats are connected to climate change. There's lots of research happening right now, but there are 3 big problems they've identified. Problem number one, a parasite, which Ferguson is studying in his lab in Anchorage.
You know, this is where we do necropsies on fish. So
it's a room lined with refrigerators and lab equipment. Ferguson's colleague, Davis Stewart, slides a test tube containing a little chunk of fish under a microscope and shows me our salmon killer, Ichthyophonus.
This is a piece of heart tissue from a Yukon
from
Chinook.
From the Yukon Chinook.
And you can see all the Ichthyophonus growing out of it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Under the microscope, the salmon tissue is mottled with big white dots, each one a single parasite that will grow, draining the fish's resources and causing cells to die. Many infected fish don't survive long enough to lay eggs.
And it's almost like an arms race. Like, can they get to the spawning ground before they die prematurely?
Ichthyophonus was first reported in the 1980s, but in recent years, it's exploded. In 2021, scientists found it in more than 40% of Yukon King salmon sampled. It's unclear what's driving the spike, but Ferguson says warming river water might play a role. The Yukon is warming twice as fast as rivers further south as a result of climate change. And that brings us to problem number two, hot rivers. Or, well, warm rivers. Dr. Vanessa von Biele is a U.S. Geological Survey ecologist.
I mean, it's crazy to be at the northern range extent of salmon and talking about it being too hot for them.
But it is. Salmon are cold-blooded, meaning they can't regulate their internal temperature. So when the river gets above 65 degrees Fahrenheit, von Biele says, that's a problem.
Their whole physiology, their whole body is designed to be in cold water. So when that water is warm, they just really hit these limits.
In a 2020 study, von Biele found that in an average year, half of all Yukon kings swimming upriver have heat stress. And it's not just the river that's warming. The ocean is heating up too. And that's problem number three. Climate change is bringing on more marine heat waves, periods of severe ocean warming. Jim Murphy is a NOAA fisheries biologist. He says marine heat waves are messing with salmon prey species. He says it's not totally clear what's happening at sea, but when he examines fish, one thing is clear. All salmon, but especially chum, are not getting enough to eat.
They're stomach contents or the amount of food that they have in their stomach has been declining with warming temperatures.
And scientists say all three of these factors, disease, heat waves, a lack of food, build on each other. A fish that didn't eat enough is already weaker as it starts its journey up the Yukon. Add a parasite and heat stress, and that fish is a lot less likely to make it to its spawning grounds to reproduce, meaning fewer fish next year. On top of all of this, people along the river have another frustration, commercial fishing. Many residents point to Bering Sea trawlers and a commercial salmon fishery along the Aleutians that they argue are intercepting salmon at sea that would otherwise be bound for the Yukon.
It kind of pisses me off a little bit thinking about it because it's the double standard.
Basil Larson lives in Russian Mission on the lower Yukon. He spoke to a weekly teleconference for river updates this summer. He says it's infuriating to see commercial fishermen pulling in hundreds of thousands of chum each season, while predominantly Alaska Native communities like Russian Mission have gone four summers barely able to fish.
We've been getting restricted and restricted and restricted, and it's not even funny anymore.
Meanwhile, commercial fishers point to data that show only a small percentage of the salmon they catch are headed to Western Alaska rivers. But Jim Murphy with NOAA says commercial fishing is the one contributor we have control over.
Most people recognize that it is not what is causing the collapse of these runs necessarily, but it is something that can be regulated to mitigate the effects of declining production.
For now, Yukon River residents are in limbo, waiting to see if fish return. Murphy says it doesn't look like kings will come back anytime soon, but he says there's hope for chum. A recent Bering Sea heat wave hit chum particularly hard, but ocean temperatures have subsided, and Murphy says signs are good for a stronger chum run in 2024. In Anchorage, I'm Kavitha George.
Here in Juneau, you can expect the rain to continue, although those heavy showers we've been seeing today are expected to lighten up this evening. By Thursday and Friday, there may be a chance for some breaks in the rain, but it will remain mostly cloudy. So brace yourself for more wet weather ahead. For more stories, you can check out ktoo.org.